Hey, what's up, my peeps? That doesn't sound right.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Hey, what's up, my peeps? No, still doesn't sound right.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, what is up, my peeps?
Whatever.
No. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh. Whatever. Why does life have to be so difficult? Why can't it just be like easy? Why do I have to water my lawn all the time? Why can't I just wait for it to rain? If it doesn't rain, my lawn turns brown. Why do I care? Do you know why? Because if there was a judging committee about the most beautiful brown lawn, I forgot the N at the end of the word. The most beautiful brown lawn ever, then I would feel very, very good about my brown lawn. But it's in comparison to people that have green lawns and take all the wonderful water out of the ground just to make their lawn green. When there are people who are dying of thirst somewhere in, I don't know, Detroit. I don't know. Anyway, welcome to the program. How you doing? Yeah, now I got to be concerned about water. I just found out from the town that I live in whence I live, that there's a water ban because it hasn't rained enough recently. Although, as I recall, about 3 weeks ago, it rained every day for 10 days. Someone was knocking at my front door like 3 weeks ago. I opened the door and I said, "What do you want?" He said, "Hi, I'm Noah." And I said, "Oh my God, you're the guy with the ark." And he said, "Yeah, I'm collecting two animals." And I said, "Well, then you want my neighbors because they are animals. And there's two of them. Get them the hell out of here. Put them on your boat and go sailing, Captain." But for some reason now there's a water ban, there's a water shortage. And now I'm actually getting alert texts on my smartphone, and my smartphone is so much smarter than I am. It really is. It knows a whole lot of things that I don't know. My smartphone, it makes a funny noise. It goes bloop, 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 bloop. And I run to the phone like, "Oh my God, my phone made a noise like Pavlov's dogs. I must find out what the strange sound, what is it alerting me to? Has somebody lost their cat? Is there a person roaming around, doesn't know where they are, and I must find them and bring them back to their home? What is this alarm on this thing you call a phone?" And it said, "Be careful, high alert, possibility of forest fires because everything's so dry." I said, oh my God. So I spent the whole rest of the day just driving around looking for fires in the forests, and it didn't happen. But I'm on high alert now. I'm on high alert. So is a water ban. So here's my deal. I can only water my lawn on Mondays or Thursdays. If I water it on like a Wednesday or Friday, I will be shot at the public square. I will be flogged, probably, or I might get a warning. Here are the penalties for watering my lawn on the days that I'm not supposed to and the hours within that I'm not supposed to. The first time I'm caught watering my lawn, and I think you're allowed to pee on it, But I don't suggest that for watering method. But I think you can do that if you want to. The first thing is a warning, where apparently you get a written warning. You have been a bad person, and you're not paying attention to our military guidance here. You can't water your lawn, and they leave out the word asshole, but I know it's implied. The second time they catch me watering my lawn at an off time, it's a $50 fine. Let me tell you something. If you're watering your lawn that much, you're paying at least $50 in water bills alone. So, whatever. The third time, they actually take your children away. No, they don't. They don't. They just take one. Ow. By the way, taking one child away, maybe well worth the violation. I don't know. Think about it. One less to feed. I don't know. May not be a bad penalty. So the third time is $100 penalty. I spend more than that in drinks at the bar. If I were drinking, which I'm not. Kids, listen to this show. Drinking is a horrible thing, kids. Marijuana. How did marijuana become so popular all of a sudden? I know everybody's always smoked it. Not everybody, but a lot of people always have. And they say, no, marijuana is perfectly fine. There's nothing wrong with it. And then I say, okay, all right. So let me understand this thing that's perfectly fine for you. What happens is you light up a smoking device, which would be paper with the marijuana rolled inside the paper. You light this. You take in the smoke that you have created in this little cigarette. You bring it down into your lungs. You hold the smoke in there as long as you possibly can until you can't hold your breath no more. And then you let it out because you literally need to breathe at this point. This smoke has been circulating in your lung cavity, in your esophagus, all those fine little where your organs are. It's been held in there for at least 30 seconds, and then you exhale, and then you try it again. And this is healthy for you, I understand. Let me tell you something, kids. When people smoke cigarettes, which is horrible, horrible for you, and by the way, smoking in the United States is down to 15% of the population. Yes. Only 1.5 and 10 in 10 actually smoke cigarettes. Almost 90% of people in this country don't smoke cigarettes. That's an incredible. It was the opposite 50 years ago. So that's incredible. But let me understand here. You smoke some cigarettes, you inhale them, and then you breathe out. You're not holding that cigarette stuff in your lungs for upwards of 30 seconds. I think marijuana inhalation could be worse. And maybe there's no nicotine in marijuana, but whenever you're burning a substance like a leaf, there's tar. Oh, there's tar. And there's carcinogens that you're holding in that cavity. And I'm telling you, you're delusional if you think that this is perfectly healthy and perfectly fine for you to do on a regular basis. Not to saying that, I mean, I don't see people, there are alcoholics and they will drink all day. And that's also very damaging. But I'm telling you, I mean, if you smoke a joint maybe once a day, I still think that you're overdoing this lung thing. That's up to you. But it is not safe. It is not healthy. Yes, but it's great for my glaucoma. Bullshit. You can't even spell the word glaucoma. You don't even know what it is. Don't give me that crap. Ronnie, I really do have glaucoma. Oh, okay, fine. Finally, somebody who actually has glaucoma. And by the way, I don't think smoking a joint is the only way to take care of your glaucoma. And I'm alienating a lot of the audience because I know a lot of you do smoke pot on a regular basis, and that's fine. God love you. Do whatever you want in your home. Invite the neighbors over and dress them in leather and flog them until they bleed. I totally don't care if you're all consenting adults. I don't care if you want to smoke cigarettes in your home and shorten your life by whatever years. Fine, I don't care. But smoking marijuana in public? No. Drinking alcohol in public? No. We've already made a statement about smoking cigarettes in public. We've banned it basically almost everywhere. So, whatever, you know, just don't walk around. Just do me a favor and don't walk around saying, yeah, I smoke marijuana and it's really good for me. It's perfectly healthy. It's not. You're taking smoke. You're holding it in your lungs for an extended period of time. Put two and two together and you may get four sometimes. You probably not. Anyway, I have no idea what I started talking about. Watering a lawn. Okay. So there's a water ban. but I can water my lawn anytime I want with a handheld hose. One of the greatest three-word expressions of the English language, handheld hose. Ladies and gentlemen, I can water my lawn if I hold my hose. Don't know about this. I'm not too sure if it's peaceful to see a human being standing in the middle of their lawn holding a hose with water coming out of it and feeding their lawn, feeding their grass. Oh, little grassy, you look thirsty today. I'm going to hold my hose and water you. I'm going to feed you water. In one sense, it's beautiful. In another sense, it's pathetic. I'm leaning toward the pathetic side of it. Watering plants, I can see that. Watering a plant, beautiful, love it. Man, that's what's more rewarding than that? Feeding a lawn, water, I don't know. I'm kind of thinking that when you water a lawn, it's like going to the beauty parlor. It's just you're making yourself look superficially nice when in the scheme of things, it sort of really shouldn't matter. If nobody watered their lawn in the middle of the summer and everybody's lawn turned brown, which they kind of do no matter how much you water or not, then I don't think anybody would give a shit about if their lawn isn't green or not. Well, my neighbor's lawns are brown, so mine can be brown too. I think it's all a matter of comparison and how big your penis is compared to the next door neighbor's penis. Well, if my neighbor's going to have a big penis, I got to have a big penis too. And you know, as I'm saying this, how does watering a lawn relate to someone having a big penis? Well, I say it in the sense that if my neighbor has it, I want it. If my neighbor doesn't have it, I don't care to have it either. It doesn't matter then. So the reasons are just too absurd to follow out is what I'm saying. Do you follow me at all? Do you have the capacity to follow what I'm talking about? I don't think you do. Hey, let me ask you a question.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
You know, I love the summer, sort of not. I sweat during the summer, and I don't really care for the sweating procedure. I can always put more clothes on in the winter when it gets really hot in the summer. I'm screwed. I can't take my skin off, and I don't want to, and I don't know if there's a way to do that anyway. So the summer's a little bit more to deal with. So when it gets hot outside, people start taking their clothes off. And, Yeah, I mean, that's great and everything. If you just want to see people take their clothes off, go to a strip bar. I mean, don't wait for the weather to change. Jesus. It's just that I don't think I want to see a lot of people without clothes on. That's all I'm saying. I think in most cases, from the people that I know and the places I've been, I think they're more attractive with their clothes on. Start taking your clothes off. We're venturing into territory that borders on that's disgusting. And I know I talk about Walmart a lot, and I put Walmart down. It's a wonderful institution. I don't know. That's what it says in the brochure. But I can't look at these people. And if you shop at Walmart, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the other people who go to Walmart. I just don't want to see their armpits. Tank tops are nice if you have a decent body. If you don't have a decent body, and I know I'm being superficial, but hey, you're part of my eyesight. If you don't have a decent body, tank tops, God, no, don't. And those spandex shorts, cut it out. You're hurting society when you do things like that. You're actually hurting people. Stop doing that. So, here's my rule. Women should always wear shorts, usually. Men should never wear shorts. I'm a guy, and I'm not really attracted to other guys by rule. And when I see another guy wearing shorts, I kind of look away. I can't look at it. It's like you're driving in traffic and all of a sudden there's an accident on the side of the road. Oh, this is why there's traffic. I don't want to look at it, but I have to. That's the way I feel about men's legs. I can't really look at that horrible accident of a picture to me, but I can't look away. See, here's the problem with men's shorts. Men possess a male part of the body called the penile delecti, and that's the technical medical term. And connected to the penile delecti, kids, are these two supply sacs, which I don't believe serve any purpose. I don't know what's in them, but they're hanging there for life. And they are only like mere millimeters away, milliliters away from the legs. So it's just a little too close for comfort for me. I don't think men should be wearing shorts ever in public. Now, if you want to go into the backyard and water your lawn with your handheld hose, shorts are probably a good idea. But if you're going to go out in public, guys, wear your fucking pants. Put some pants on. The long pants that go down to your shoes. Shorts, not. I don't care. I don't care if you have wonderful legs as a man. Kind of just turns me off to eyesight. Women, on the other hand, perfectly beautiful. See, here's the difference. And maybe it's because I'm a guy. Men are utilitarian. They are tools, and they've been called tools before. Their job is to do utilitarian things. Men are here for a purpose, to fix shit. Something's wrong, a man will fix it. If there's nothing to fix, he feels insecure, not really worth anything. A man's only purpose in life is to not do what they really would love to do, and that's have children. Men cannot have children. They're not allowed to anywhere. They're not allowed to have children. Women are childbearing. They can actually grow a life from within and actually deliver this baby and have this incredible connection, because this baby was actually inside them for quite a period of time. There is that bond that is never broken. A man actually... And women, I don't think you understand this. And men, you probably don't either, because no one talks about this. Men basically have no purpose. There's no reason for them. All you need is their sperm. I can give that to you in a cup. anytime you want. And I don't even have to try. And that's pretty much the only thing I contribute to this thing called life. Women's roles are like totally different. Women actually grow the little thing from within, and they deliver it. It comes out of their body. It's part of their entire internal system. It's fed off of their internal system. It's breathed in there somehow. I would, if I were a baby, I'd go, get me out of here, get me out of here. Babies don't. They like being in there. And then when they come out, what did they suck on the woman's breast? For the most part, if you can produce breast milk, babies will actually nurture themselves actually after they're born off the very mothers that gave birth to them and house them for 9 months, whatever it is. It's an incredible relationship. Men, nothing. Nothing. Here's some sperm. I put it in a cup. I guess I'm done for my lifetime. I guess I'm done. I'm not participating. I don't have the same bond. No one's sucking milk for me. I'm have no purpose in this greater scheme of life and this greater scheme of bringing life into the world. I have really nothing to do. I'm out of it. I am. You don't need me, really. You don't need me. Men walk around with this, and they never admit it, and they never say that they feel it. But somehow, if you dig deep within a man, they will say, "What am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do?" So they're utilitarian. They fix things. They are a tool. They provide. Here's my sperm. I'm going to go have a job. Here's some money that I made. Even though women, you can make it too. You got other things that you can do. I can't do those things. So to me, working was probably my only function, I guess. I don't know. So I want to do it more than you do as a woman because I can't do what you do. I don't know. I don't know. Well, I do know, but I don't know. Women are just like better life things. They were created with this incredible ability for fulfillment. And you know, if you don't have children as a woman, that's fine too. You're no different than a man. You're fine, wonderful, enjoy your life. But you do have that extra ability, should you choose to use it, to actually bring life into the world and to bond with this life that you've brought in. Men, no, I can't, sorry. I bond with a beer, perhaps a man will say. I love sports, a man will say. But I do this because I don't have what you have, women. So women are to be put on pedestals, and not just to look up their dresses, no. Because women are that. And women are created as beautiful creatures. I mean, again, I'm a man. I view men in as someone else who's taking up space nearby. That's really all I see in a guy. They are not beautiful to me. They're kind of gruff and not kind of beautiful at all. Women, like 95% of them, are absolutely beautiful creatures. They're pretty. They're formed. They are formed interestingly. They are attractive. They move differently. They move in an attractive manner, in a manner that even attracts other women to them. Other women are more jealous about other women than they are about men. Most women, there's been surveys about this, most women dress for other women. They're not gay, they're not lesbians, but they just dress for other women. So other women will say, you really look good. That satisfies them more than a man saying that. If a man came up to me and said, Ron, you're really looking good today, I'd say, back off, fucker. It's just a whole different thing. By the way, I'm not charging you for today's show. It's free. I could have charged you. You wouldn't have paid, but I could have charged you.
Over the internet and into your face. It's the all-new Ron Van Dam Show on Metro Self Podcasting. You've got some Van Dam on your cheek there, just up by your, right there. You probably want to wipe that off quickly. That stuff really stains.
Hey, want to get in touch with me? Forget it. Or, I guess, you can go to our new Facebook page, which was just created rather recently. I don't know what it is. It's New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. New England Broadcasting, The Ron Van Dam Show. Go to the page and say that you like it, you follow it. I don't know what the hell you're supposed to do with it, but just react to it somehow with your little Facebook stuff. Or you can email me, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Any suggestions for topics that you wish to be discussed or made fun of or mocked to its death, I shall do it, perhaps. If you're a guest and you would like to be a guest on the program, you have something interesting to talk about, interesting to say, written a book, represent an organization, doctor that wants to talk about doctoring, whatever the case may be, drop me a little email, drop your pants at ronvandamshow@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what you do.
When you reach for a beer, what are you looking for? The finest malts, grains, and hops? An artisan ale that represents a modern take on traditional brewing techniques that master brewers have refined and treasured for years? A true beer drinking experience? Or like most of us, are you just looking to get fucked up on the cheap? Well, if you're like the rest of us, congratulations, your beer is here. It's Falkenhalter. It's not a great beer. It's not even a good beer. It's a beer that's $4 a case, and it's strong enough to melt the chrome off a trailer hitch. So kiss your liver goodbye and say hello to Falkenhalter. It's beer.
It is beer. There's no question about it. There is no question about that. It is indeed beer. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the program is brought to you by absolutely nothing. I'm going to spare you that whole thing right now. Do you like, Tanya's here. Tanya's here. She's been on the show before. She's all over television. And we talk about home decorating tips and things like that. And, you know, springing your house up, making it springful and different and wonderful. Tanya Nayak joins us now. You're familiar with her, Food Network, HGTV. She's everywhere. You open up your closet and she's probably there doing a show. It's just all over the place. And summer is here and it's time to start the new season in style. So she's going to help us out with some easy and great do-it-yourself ideas to welcome guests into your home, which I haven't done in quite some time because I'm too embarrassed to have them in my home. Hi, Tanya. How you doing?
Hi, Ron. Well, because your home is inside of an iPhone, right?
Yes, that's right.
Does he live in the phone? Yes.
All right.
How's it going?
It's going great. I'm very excited about talking to you and making things different. You know, every once in a while I rearrange my furniture and put in different lighting just to feel different. And I know you've got plenty of tips about that.
Lots. I have too many tips. In fact, I have so many tips that I'm going to crank right through because I don't want to miss any of them.
All
right?
Here we go.
So here we go. We'll start big and we'll work our way down to the smaller, easier projects.
Okay.
So, I love a fresh coat of paint because I feel like it smells fresh, it looks fresh, but I think painting can get really overwhelming sometimes because people think, oh man, I have to paint all the walls in my house. No. Mm-hmm. Pick one wall. Do a great accent wall, but make sure you prep properly. This is one of the biggest mistakes that people do is that they just think, oh, I can freehand it, and then forget it. You get paint everywhere. Trust me, it's so important to take that time to prep properly. Okay. So I prefer frog tape painter's brand tape because it has this paint block technology. Mm. So once the paint hits it, the edges actually seal so that you get a really clean, crisp line every single time. So it really does look like you hired a professional to come in and paint your wall. Mm. But I'm talking about an accent wall, and I know that the colors can kind of be a little tricky. Like, people look, they go to the paint store, and there's, I don't know, we're on what, like, 90 million different colors to choose 90, from.
Actually, it's 92 million, but yeah.
92 million. Yeah, exactly. So a nice, easy way to pare it down is if you know what the color is on your walls existing, get that strip that color is on. You know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. At the paint deck, there's like 7 different colors. Mm-hmm. Then go about 2 to 3 shades darker than the color that's already on your walls, and it is foolproof. It's going to look like you hired a designer, and it looks awesome. It just adds a little bit of depth.
Love it.
So that's first. I started big. I'm going to pare it down now. A couple of smaller things that you can do. Are you a big traveler, Ron?
No.
Nope. You just live in that phone, right?
I live in my little pod world.
Yes, exactly. Well, when you do get to venture out, like, I love to travel. And, you know, where my husband and I are big Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard fans. And I love to collect seashells. I know it maybe sounds a little juvenile, but it's just something I've always loved doing. They're so pretty. Mm-hmm. So I put them out in a box. I nestle a little candle in it. And it reminds me of summer when it's not summertime. Mm. And it gets me excited for thinking about my trip. It's a great conversation piece. Cool. I just went to India a few weeks ago to visit family. And while I was there, I got so much stuff, but my favorite thing that I got was some shawls. And the reason I love the shawl is because it works as a throw on a chair. You know, when you get a stain on your chair, you can cover that baby right up with a throw, and no one's going to know.
Yeah.
You can use it as a wrap when it's chilly. When I want my last glass of wine for the evening, I want to wrap myself up and finish that glass of wine. Or I've even used it to wrap up pillows to create a new look for a pillow. So they really have a lot of function. And again, it's a conversation piece because I picked it up in India.
Yeah.
And if you only knew what it looked like in the area where I bought it, oh my gosh, you would never think that this beautiful fabric came from this little market
Actually, I've been to India, and I know you have family there, but I don't think I'd go back. It's
a little certain, right. It's a tough trip. And I mean, it was 110 degrees when I was there.
Yeah. So. And there aren't a lot of sanitation trucks rolling down the street either. Anyway,
let's move beyond. No,
exactly.
Okay. So, all right. How about this? Are you much of a painter or an artist?
In my own little pod way.
I love it. You know, I know it can be one of these things where, you know, all these paint classes are really popular right now, and everyone wants to channel their inner painter, but let's be honest, we're not all that great at it. Mm. So there's one way that you can do art in your house and not pay a fortune, just by getting a canvas, and again, use that frog tape, painter's tape, and create a lot of geometric lines on the canvas, because you can't mess that up.
Yeah.
And it's really a big rage right now to have these like bold, like digitally defined looking artwork. And then when you paint it, you get those crisp, clean lines, and it looks like you got it from a gallery. I mean, and really, you just did it yourself. So another great conversation piece. And all the colors, you can work those colors in to really be custom fit for your house. So it's a great tip.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm writing this down.
Okay.
All right.
Good. I'm glad you're writing it all down. And then a couple of smaller things that you can do, like trays. I love to use chalkboard paint on old trays so that I can write the menu. If it's a barbecue, I'll use a more casual metal tray. It's really cute. You can hang it on the fence or lean it up against the wall. I actually did it at Christmas time. I got one of those vintage silver trays.
Yeah.
And I did my little Christmas menu. We always have all the family. You can imagine Indian family and my husband's Irish family. Yeah. Nobody can understand each other's accents.
I can't understand any of you. I know.
So everybody gets along great. And then last but not least, you know, there's floral patterns. And I don't know why, Ron, but I just don't think that you're much of a floral guy. For some reason, I'm getting that
vibe. Thank you very much.
Yes. But I will say there are some really cool floral patterns that are a little more tribal, a little more bold, and not like grandma's patterns, you know. And you can just throw a throw pillow out that has some floral pattern on it to freshen it up and get it really ready for summertime, which I'm so ready for.
Well, I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot. And so where do I get more information?
Yeah, you know what? You can go to frogtape.com. lots of fun ideas there, lots of how-tos and great tips. And, you know, or you can even go to my website, TanyaNayak.com. Either way, I got lots of fun ideas.
Perfect. That was perfect. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your time. Great to talk to you. Continued success. Let me ask you one quick question. When you're doing the Restaurant Impossible, do you want to smack the host?
You know what? I love the guy. I do. I love it. I'm not even just saying it. He can be tough.
Yeah, but I love him. Man, he's so demanding. Yeah. He's so demanding.
That's so funny.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I hope to meet you sometime. I hope to run into you in Boston, Ron.
Hey, great talking to you, Tanya. Thank you so much for your time today.
Okay. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. I wish I could listen to it too. But sometimes he says bad words.
No, not a lot. Beautiful day, isn't it today? Huh? Is it beautiful out? I think it is. It's blue skies. Welcome back to the program. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. I didn't know if you knew that, but I thought I'd throw that in just for identification purposes. Guess who I am? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got that right, baby. You got that right. You got that right. Well, right after the program today, I'm going to go outside and put some shorts on and stand in the middle of my lawn with my handheld hose. And you watch and see how many people honk their horns and say, "Go inside, you bastard. You're ruining my neighborhood." Yeah, watch and see. Watch and see, play and not. Watch and see sounds like a romper room activity, doesn't it? We're going to watch and see, kids. I loved romper room. I really did. It was so wonderful. Do you remember romper room?
Step back. So our circle's a little bit bigger and you have some more room. Had enough, have you? Okay, Daniel. Just put it on the tray and then come and join us. Feet apart, everybody. Down to your toes we go. And look up into the sky. Maybe we'll see some clouds today. Was it raining at your house this morning?
No.
Let's see if we can chase the rain away then. Okay. Ready, please, Mr. Music. Stretch up. A few clouds over there, I think. A few black ones over there.
Ooh. Are you allowed to say that?
Bend and stretch right up. Bend and stretch.
Come on, everybody.
Reach for the stars. There goes Jupiter. Here comes Mars. Bend and stretch.
Yep.
Reach for the sky. Stand on tippy toe. Oh, so high. Now, I can see some black clouds over there.
Yeah,
they're big, fluffy ones. Do you think any rain would come out of those?
No.
They have to be black and dark.
The
sun's
darker.
Over here. Well, maybe the sun and the wind is going to push those clouds away and the rain will go.
What are you,
do you think so?
Forecaster?
Now, if it has been raining and the sun comes out, sometimes we see a rainbow. Do you see one in the sky?
No.
Oh, look at it over there. No, I can see it. Have a good look.
I don't see it.
There it is.
Where?
Come on, bend over and have another look.
You bend over.
Stretch up.
You stretch up.
Here comes Mars. Bend and stretch. Reach for the sky. Stand on tippy toe. Oh, so high.
Have yourselves a wonderful day. I'll be back again tomorrow. I hope you join me then. Until then, I wish you peace.